Bloomberg's Juliet Solly joins us, and she's got a special guest, right, Jules?
I do indeed, Doug. It is getting very exciting here because, as you say, we're about to kick off in about 10 minutes' time and we'll hear from our founder, Michael Bloomberg, founder of Bloomberg LP and Bloomberg Philanthropies and three-term mayor of New York City. But with me here in Singapore right now is Qiuming Venture Partners founding manager partner, Gary Rochelle. Gary, great to have you with us. I mean, we've seen Presidents Biden and Xi now meet for the first time since President Biden became the leader of the United States, really trying to find an off-ramp here in these U.S.-China tensions. How are you seeing that all play in to your business? Are you still seeing strong, I guess, demand, or is this really starting to impact business?
I think over the last several years, and by the way, thank you very much for having me this morning, over the last several years, the entrepreneurial community, the early stage venture capital community in China has continued to be quite active. Again, I think that there's a significant separation between what you see in the geopolitical realm and what's happening on the ground with real early stage startup entrepreneurs, which is what Qiuming's business is. You could almost feel, however, this morning when people started getting together, there was this, this exhale of, okay, the U.S. and China are going to talk.
Yeah.
And I think that the world has been waiting to at least acknowledge or at least understand whether or not they're going to talk. And I think that that makes a significant difference. And you can feel it, really, in the conversations with people this morning. The entrepreneurs in China, however, the last several years, none of them wake up in the morning deciding whether to start a business based upon Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
They are really there to satisfy a growing and substantial need in the Chinese market, and particularly in the areas of technology and healthcare, which are the two areas that Qiuming focuses on. So I could say everyone's happy. Everyone's has a chance to be slightly less despondent today. But I don't think it really has impacted how entrepreneurs think about their role in the Chinese economy.
What about what we saw from the Party Congress then? Did you see some changes in terms of whether or not there's going to be more funding? And have you been seeing a drop-off in funding at all?
So there is a drop-off in funding, particularly in the late-stage crossover rounds, so pre-IPO rounds. When there's no IPO, then there can't have a pre-IPO financing. I think that in the early-stage startups, the firms that are organized to deploy capital against those real technology development cycles. Our average holding period in Qiuming is 8-plus years in our portfolio. For people that are in that world, I still think there's robust capital, and I still think there's quite a bit of activity. But the big dollar, the big headline dollar deals that Tiger Global, SoftBank, and others do, those have definitely either disappeared completely or dramatically reduced this year.
9 IPOs for Qiuming this year. Not a bad year. I think you called it decent when you were on Bloomberg Television earlier. What have you been mainly investing in? What are you looking to invest in?
So what we made a significant change about 7 years ago, and we moved from having a significant weighting in the consumer facing businesses to more core tech bases. So on the tech side, we have a robust semiconductor set of investments, quite a bit of software as a service, intelligent manufacturing, AI. It's hard to really bucket AI because AI really is tied to applications.
Mm.
So those are really the core areas for the Qiuming tech practice. Healthcare, you see more and more investment in what I'd call early stage pharma and, again, technology development around cell therapy, gene therapy, and then the services side in China. China's still short 4 million doctors. It's still short for 7 million nurses. So you're thinking about adding 11 million healthcare professionals just to kind of get to the base of what's required to provide care. That's a big number.
Okay, so healthcare certainly in focus there, and as well, you've been looking at the software infrastructure. I mean, we look at the inflationary picture, higher rates from the Fed, that does often eat into tech funding, as we've discussed, in terms of your funding levels that you're seeing. Do you see opportunity if we are going to see a global downturn? Is this the time when the entrepreneurial spirit really tries to pick up talent that might be dropped elsewhere?
I think that that is correct. So some of the larger firms now, they're shedding quite a few employees in the U.S. Haven't seen quite as much of that in China yet, but a substantial amount in the U.S. If I'm looking at it just from the perspective in China, the market opportunity in China to kind of rehost the entire economy on a 21st century technology platform, that has not changed, and what's going to change is the rate at which we move in that direction. So what we can't really look at today or predict today is how rapidly will China develop all of its own cloud services? How rapidly will, right now, in advanced manufacturing, intelligent manufacturing, only 7% of China's manufacturing base has moved to what we'd call and consider intelligent manufacturing. So there's still some very, very long tails in terms of reaching critical mass in those areas. That is probably a little less certain today because you're not sure what the follow-on capital availability is going to be. So we're going to have to see how that plays out.
When do you see a full reopening of the China economy?
So it has to. It won't occur until there's a significant just elimination or ignore a zero COVID policy. So that's probably in the third quarter of next year.
We want to talk as well about your Ant stake. What valuation have you assigned there?
I'm sorry, what stake?
Your Ant stake.
Oh, we don't have an Ant stake.
You don't have an Ant stake.
Okay. Qiming, I wish I had an Ant stake, but I don't have an Ant stake.
That is my bad on my research there. We thought you did in terms of how you were evaluating your China allocation there. What about reevaluating exposure in any way there?
So I think that what you reevaluate is you reevaluate, again, by sector. So you look at, is the consumer sector going to recover, bounce back quickly? No. Anything where the government has sensitivity over data ownership, that's not going to recover quickly. So what you do is you tend to look for areas where, okay, this is purely a commercial enterprise and you have less and less government interference. Clearly, if the government's putting their finger on the scale in a particular area, that's an area we would probably avoid.
You mentioned earlier a big sigh of relief. How do you feel the world has also just changed in the past year or so? I'm not sure if you were at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum a year ago, but Singapore has certainly opened up so much. I mean, you must be seeing a lot more opportunity and an ability to start to do business more freely.
Singapore, I was here last year, and Singapore is a very, very good microcosm of what's happening. So the energy in Singapore is amazing. Clearly a great deal of capital has flown into the area. But you almost see Singapore taking on a global role now as the Geneva of Asia. So going back 30, 40, 50 years when there were global conflicts and wars, Geneva, brokered by the Swiss, was still able to have different constituencies, Nazis, Jews, etc., get together and have conversations. You see Singapore now being able to have North Asia, China, India, Southeast Asia, people from Europe, people from the United States. It's really its time.
Yeah.
And I think it has an extraordinary a base to work from today.
The Geneva of Asia. I love it. Thank you so much for your time. Qiming Venture Partners founding managing partner Gary Rochelle with me here at the 5th annual Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.